What you're saying is, Zendaya, Florence Pugh, and maybe even Sarah Ferguson have less of a character arc than one of the sandworms.
Well, do you mean Rebecca Ferguson? No, of course,
I
you're entitled
think
to your opinions, but you're all wrong.
if I ever have children and if I ever have boys, I will inevitably end up with face tattoos without, Nick Mohammed flying into her mouth.
Excuse me.
But if this was a reality show, I would 100% tune in. Imagine that synopsis, but it's just a camera following someone around. It'd be great.
This podcast was recorded remotely and may contain adult language and themes.
Hello and welcome to TV DNA, our Easter spoiler-free watchlist episode. This week we're going to be talking about Renegade Nell, the TV BAFTAs and more besides. We are recording on Easter Sunday morning. My name is Adam Henning and our co-host loves to rabbit. She's our best bunny. It's Grace Chapman.
Oh, hiya.
How are you doing, Grace?
Oh, I'm really well. I'm really, really good. Happy Easter, everybody.
Also with us on Zombie Jesus Day, he usually looks like he's just emerged from a cave after 3 days. It's Damien Cooper.
Chucks away!
Has the Easter Bunny visited you, Damo?
No, not yet. I think I need to check at my mum and dad's house to see if the Easter Bunny has visited me, because even at the age of 41, my folks were still very generous. He probably got me a chocolate egg.
Excellent. We are due to be joined shortly by Izzy Dixon, but she's been waylaid somewhat, so she'll jump on at some point. So we're gonna save Renegade Nell for a little while so that Izzy can join us for that chat. But Grace, it's been a while since we've had you on a watch list. What have you been watching?
I've actually got some to share with you, which is, quite unusual for me. But I just started Palm Royale, which I know that you guys have spoken about on a watch list before. I actually did the first two episodes back to back because I was having such a great time. I really love it. This is the Apple TV Plus budget show with Kristen Wiig and Alison Janney, who are two of my favourite people. And I know Izzy shares the love and adoration for those two women as well. I thought it was going to be funnier, I'm not going to lie, but I'm having a great time. And it's just so great to look, like the colours are amazing and the characters are great. So I'm really into that. Have you guys carried on with that at all?
So I've only watched the first episode and I think I kind of pretty much agree with you on all fronts. I think, yeah, aesthetically, it's astounding, that era of American history, the fashion, all that is so bright and colourful and interesting as it is. That was quite a bit of heavy lifting, I think. But it's a great cast. I mean, Kristen Wiig looks absolutely fantastic. I don't know if she's had work done or what. She's always been a strikingly beautiful woman, but she looks really quite something else in this, I think. But yeah, Alison Janney is amazing. Really good cast. Long-term listeners will know my real focus for watching this show is Ricky Martin. And I've not had much Ricky action in the first episode.
Well, things change in episode two. You'll be thrilled to hear.
Amazing.
Yeah, I have watched the second episode. And despite Ricky Martin getting his trumpet out, I'm done for now.
No, Adam, this surprises me. What's up? What's wrong?
It's partly that I've got quite a long list of stuff that I'm watching at the moment, but I just didn't find it funny enough. And then I didn't really care enough about her getting into the Palm Royale, and it just felt a little bit like people being mean to each other. I'm kind of happy to be persuaded otherwise. So I'm glad that you guys are watching it and enjoying it, because you'll keep watching it. And then you can tell me whether it's worth me sort of dipping back in later on.
How the tables have turned, eh? Normally it's the other way around.
I know. I've got such a long list at the moment, and I just watched it. As I was watching it, I was going, oh, I just wish I was watching four or five of the other things on my list.
Okay, well, if that's your feeling, I totally understand. But I think my favourite scenes are in the dressmakers, where they kind of, Kristen Wiig's able to kind of plant various seeds and of gossip, which I love. And I think Kristen Wiig's just playing this really amazing, she's towing this amazing line between naive and actually quite manipulative. And the way she's doing that is just absolutely spot on. So I'm really enjoying that performance. But Palm Royale, I'm having a really good time basically watching it. So there's that. I finished series one of Slow Horses, which obviously I've talked about before, really, really enjoyed. So maybe start season two today on Easter Sunday. What can I expect from Easter two? What can I expect from season two?
I mean, you definitely get a bit more of the team, basically, because I think it's such a quick show in season one and you don't really feel like you know them particularly well. But I think that certainly grows with season two. Yeah, I mean, definitely more of the same, really. More brilliant stuff from Gary Oldman, Jack Loudon. It's so good. There's probably a moment fairly early on where you might need some emotional support, I'll say.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's a strong second season. And third season, I think, is even better.
I just want to know, do we get more Gary Oldman and Kristen Scott Thomas plotting by the canal?
Yes, definitely.
Thank God. Okay, I'm in. That's great. Then also, I know this is not a TV show, but you know I don't like my sci-fi, famously. Not into it. But I like June. I'm into June. Yes, this is fun. I watched the first one on Netflix, because obviously it became available before the second one came out. You know, my boyfriend Krzysztof wanted to go and watch June 2 at the Science Museum. That was fun. They've got a huge IMAX there with like a million speakers. Disclosure, it's not a million. I had the best time, but I was quite hungover when I watched it, so it was quite an intense experience.
Yeah, I saw, since we last recorded a watch list, I also saw June 2 at the cinema. I think there's some really good stuff in that film. I remember watching the first one in the cinema probably just as we were allowed to go to the cinema in lockdown and not realising that it was a multi-film series. So I was like, fucking hell, man, we're 2 hours into this. It doesn't feel like anything's going to be resolved. How are they going to pull this all together? And then with 10 minutes to go, I was like, oh, geez, this is a series. I've not mentally prepared myself for this film in the right way. I think considering there's a lot of dross in that kind of film being released, there can be a lot of just abject shit. But I agree. I think it's a really good, well-made film. I haven't seen Zendaya in very much. In fact, that's probably the June films might be the only thing I've seen her in. And I think she's just brilliant, particularly in the second one.
Not Damo, that's where I disagree wholeheartedly. It's not her fault. I think women characters in sci-fi is some issues, guys. There are some issues. I've never seen a female character in sci-fi that I'm like, oh, that's good. That's definitely written well. Adam's immediate with the hand up.
Silo?
Would you call Silo sci-fi?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you Silo. Yeah, all right. Maybe that was a bit of a broad brushstroke there. Maybe I should backpedal ever so slightly. But Zendaya, very one note, not her fault. Florence Pugh, highly underused, not her fault. Come on, guys, just come on. Just get some women in the writers' room, please, God.
I'm just trying to see if I fully understand what you're getting at here, Grace. What you're saying is Zendaya, Florence Pugh, and maybe even Sarah Ferguson in this film have less of a character arc than one of the sandworms.
Pretend. Sarah Ferguson, I think, has got more to do and is having more fun. But Zendaya, I felt for her. She was just pulling the same face for 2.5 hours. Let's be honest here now. Come on, gang.
Can I just check? Do you mean sort of member of the royal family, Sarah Ferguson, who I once bumped into outside of a hotel? Or do you mean Rebecca Ferguson?
All right, firstly, name drop. Secondly, yes, we do mean Rebecca Ferguson. But you know what? I think I've worked out why I like June is because it's, you know, 98% of them are, I put in air quotes, humans. You know, there's no like flubber thing coming into the local store to ask about like where the mechanics are. And there's no little teddy bears in the forest. It's humans. And I love it. So I'm into June and I'm going to quickly keep talking so no one can mention the teddy bears in the forest. Damo?
No, you know you're safe around me, mate. I fucking love that shit. The one of the things I saw, a tweet about June 2, it says June 2 is the peril of boy mums.
What does that mean?
Mothers of boys and how they are around their boys. And obviously, because of the way that film works, I don't want to give too many spoilers for those who haven't seen it yet, but there is big boy mum energy and a lot of it is boy mum pushing rather than the boy itself doing the work.
Yeah, I imagine if I ever have children and if I ever have boys, I will inevitably end up with face tattoos. But yeah, so really, that's been a bit of a discovery for me in the last few weeks, and I'm really happy about it. And then the final thing that I've been watching is Married at First Sight Australia, and I'm really enjoying it. It's a great season. And I'm heavily invested in the love of two couples and very invested in the downfall of one specific man.
How many episodes in this season?
The thing is, they don't tell you before you start.
Right.
Okay. That's their move. But it's a great season, guys. Shout out to my maths fans out there. Look, guys, if you're into it, if you like maths, this is a great season in Australia. Really enjoyable so far. High on the drama. That's basically it from me.
Just quickly, just outreach to our listeners. Sorry, if you are a listener to this pod and you do enjoy maths, can you reach out to us? Because I would be curious to see how many of our listeners are into maths.
It's demo, they won't, because they don't think it's a safe space.
According to who? I have constantly asked for a safe space. If anything, Grace, you are the one that has rejected the sanctity of this pod when I have asked for a safe space.
Come on, my maths crew, get in touch.
And just to clarify, we're not being South London about this. This is maths married at first sight and not mathematics.
Maths Australia, that would be...
How about you, Damo? What have you been watching?
So, yeah, I have been watching Palmerall also, as we've covered. I'm watching more of Mary and George, probably about 5 or 6 episodes in, I think. Some really good performances. I'll be honest, I'm not loving it, but I think it's a good show. I think there are some really nice performances, some really good dialogue, really funny, well-paced, but it's just not quite grabbing me. I don't think it would make, you know, top 20 shows of the year for me, let's put it that way.
I think it's patchy. There's some moments in it which you think are just absolutely brilliant, and then other times when you think, well, we've seen this already a little bit, and it's a little bit sort of dull and repetitive at times. But I think the performances in it are fantastic. I think Samuel Blenkin, who plays Prince Charles, is really great. I love him. I think he's fantastic. Yeah, I finished it. I haven't yet watched the kind of making of episode with Alexa Chung, which is episode 8, but I finished yesterday the 7th episode. And I've really enjoyed it. I'm really glad I watched it, but I think you're right, it's probably not going to be in the old top 10.
It's nice to hear that Alexa Chung's getting some work. Haven't heard that name for a while. Also, The New Look, continuing to watch that. Still gorgeous, still beautiful. Ben Mendelsohn is exceptional. And an absolute joy to watch. Juliette Binoche is very good as Coco. Emily Mortimer is Emily Mortimer, but that's not necessarily a bad thing in this, because I think that's right for the character. But yeah, I think it's just a really good show. And I do think not only will the show itself be in the discussion when it comes to Emmys, but I've said this ad infinitum now, I know, but Ben Mendelsohn definitely should be a hot contender for Best Leading Actor.
And a shout for guest actor in a limited series, maybe for Glenn Close?
Yeah, actually. So Glenn's only been in one episode. That's not a spoiler, but she is. And she is very good. And I don't know, I never watched Murders in the Building Series 7 or however far it's gone now. But I know Glenn Close was in that, wasn't she? Was she in it significantly, or was she in it for but a few episodes?
No, she was in it. I don't think she was in every single episode, but she was definitely one of the suspects, basically. So she was definitely a more of a supporting role rather than a guest role, I would say, in Only Murders in the Building.
But she's also in series 2 of Tehran. She's fantastic in that as well. Obviously, what can you say about Glenn Close hasn't already been said? An absolute stalwart, generational talent, and such other superlatives. So it's nice that she's doing, you know, that she is still working. And I guess we just have to get her in kind of small batches for whatever reason, probably her own choice, I'm assuming. But she's great. I think she's in episode 6 or 7 of The New Look.
Yeah, I haven't watched the recent one. The last one I watched was the one that she was in. So I'm a little bit behind.
So yeah, there are some pacing issues still with The New Look, but very much recommend. Grace?
Sorry, I've just Googled Glenn Close while you've been talking. She's 77. She looks absolutely fantastic. Take a bow, Glenn. Okay, move on.
It's all the rabbit stew that she has.
It's all those little Dalmatians.
So yeah, a couple more things. I watched a short documentary on iPlayer, the Baltimore Bridge collapse. So quite a big news story this week. A significantly sized commercial vessel crashed into the bridge at Baltimore and brought it down. It's quite an interesting documentary about what happens, and there's footage of it happening, and it's just absolutely terrifying. And how they were able to stop people driving on that bridge in time is just crazy.
It's a very quick turnaround, isn't it, for a documentary?
Well, I guess now, right, there is just so much there's so much material available. So as long as you can talk to a couple of, you know, important players in it, then you probably can just quickly put out, it was only 19 minutes long. And a lot of it is kind of news footage that is readily available with some talking heads. It's kind of more an extended news item for 90 minutes with elements of documentary rather than a kind of quote unquote proper doc. And then the other thing that I've written down, although I'm sure I've watched other things, is yesterday was the final of Gladiators.
How are you feeling?
Absolutely fine. I've got to the point where I fast forward just to the events now, and once or twice, sometimes I even find myself second screening during the events. So I really wanted to enjoy that show, mostly for nostalgia's sake. But I don't want any spoilers unless we've already said it, actually, haven't we, that it's been confirmed for a second series. It just doesn't work. Maybe they'll be able to get it to work better, but it just feels like there's unnecessary evil moments from Gladiators that mess up contestants that seem completely confected. And there were a worrying number of injuries. So at least two contenders had to pull out of the series because they got injured. And so people had to get brought in. And I think at least one Gladiators series was cut short because they got injured. So I don't understand, because that very rarely happened in the 90s show. I remember Cobra did his knee in, which is why when I went to see them live, Cobra wasn't there and he was my favourite. Still getting over that. Yeah, I think it is worrying that given health and safety is so much more, you know, so much taken so much more seriously, that many people have been injured. Yeah, that's kind of it for me, really.
I have one question about the... I have lots of questions about Gladiators, but my main question is, do their people still have the foam fingers?
I'm sure I did see some foam fingers, and there is still some kind of Queen music being played, as you would expect, Another One Bites the Dust, or all that kind of classic Gladiators jazz. They just not made a clear enough decision as to when one Gladiator is like the nasty Gladiators. There's one called Viper that they're trying to make the new Wolf. They don't set it up well. So some of them are like, oh God, I think you're such a really good competitor. It was really tough out there. You really put me to my paces. And then the next one, they're just this really horrible, bad pantomime villain the next round. This isn't consistent. So we can't decide whether we can enjoy hating you or love you.
Wow, I didn't think we'd spend quite such a long time talking about the Gladiator series finale, but here we are. I am very excited to tell you that we've been joined by the excellent Izzy Dixon. How are you, Izzy?
I'm very good. Happy Easter. I did see what you did there.
Thank you very much. You joined us just in time to hear about what I've been watching, and then we'll find out from you what you've been watching. But I'll go with the new shows first of all. So I watched the first episode of A Gentleman in Moscow, starring the excellent Ewan McGregor on Paramount Plus. This is the story of a Russian aristocrat who, post-revolution, manages to avoid execution because he wrote a poem that has been seen as being in support of the people. But he has to stay in this hotel, the Metropole Hotel, where he was living previously. He is not allowed out of the hotel, otherwise he will be shot. And there he meets a young girl, and she knows a lot more about the secrets of the hotel than he does. That's kind of the setup for this. Very much a first episode sort of introduction to a whole load of characters. The brilliant Paul Reddy from Motherland is a key character in this first episode, and there's a really lovely dynamic between him and Ewan McGregor that works really, really well. And I'll just give you one of the lines from it. They can take your house or rooms, but they can't take away who you are.
Lovely. How's Ewan McGregor?
He's good. Really, really good in this. Yeah, I'm really enjoying him. I'm a fan anyway. The other one, that's the one I'd recommend. Go on, Damien.
So just quickly, so Gentleman Moscow, is that being released weekly or is it just been a season dump?
No, it's one a week. So it's only the first episode that's out. The episodes come out Friday on Paramount Plus.
Am I going to have to resubscribe to Paramount Plus?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, if you want to wait a couple more weeks and I'll tell you if it gets any better, worse.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
But I was quite curious about Twisted Metal, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet. So I've gone back in, and, you know, Otis got to watch the Paw Patrol movie yesterday. So we're all a winner. The other new show, Damo.
Did you watch the Paw Patrol movie?
No.
Right. Do you want to go and watch it and then come back and tell us about some proper TV then?
Absolutely not. No, thank you. But the other show that I have started is Passenger on ITVX. This is the Wumi Masaku show about this little sleepy village called Chadder Vale. And yeah, I was quite excited about this. I knew it was kind of a little, not necessarily sci-fi, but there was something odd in the village going on. But fairly early doors, I was a little bit worried about the dialogue, about the script. It all felt a little bit rushed and basic. felt like they were trying a little bit too hard. We've got fracking in here and climate change. And then it dawned on me that what they were aiming for was the new Happy Valley. And that Wumi Misaki's character, whose name I've blocked from my mind, she's a boxer. She's sort of she's tough. I really love Wumi Misaki. I think she's brilliant, but I don't think she's been particularly well served in this show. We've got Shervin Alanabi, who's in Tehran, who's quite good in this as well. And then plot-wise, there's sort of missing girls, there's a kind of mutilated corpse of a stag and someone being let out of prison early. And I felt like it was becoming a bit of a creature feature. There was just about enough intrigue by the end of episode one to make me feel like going back in for a second episode. But my worry is, it's kind of almost a mix of Happy Valley and Night Country, just with not such good dialogue. I'll report, I will watch one more at least, and I'll come back, but that's that one. And then the third new show that I watched, again, only one episode, is Big Mood, which I think is on Channel 4. I might have to fact check that. This is Nicola Coughlan and Lydia West, and it's kind of a bipolar comedy. And I just, again, I'm not really sure about this one yet. I feel like I need to give it another episode to really make my mind up. They're individually great, and I was quite drunk/tired when I watched the first one. The final 10 seconds of the show give the hint that it's more than what the other 29 minutes and 50 seconds were all about. So if it wasn't for that final 10 seconds, I think I'd have been out straight away. And now I'm just not really sure. But I do think perhaps my state was not the best to be watching a new show in.
Just to confirm, it is Channel 4.
Thank you very much. But yeah, if anyone else has watched, any of our listeners have watched Big Mood and are enjoying it, then do let us know. A few shows that I've finished, which I'll try and cover quite quickly. Three Body Problem, which I've finished on Netflix. I really, really enjoyed this, despite our listeners on our poll in our last watch list episode saying that they felt Palm Royale was the better show. I think this one is the better show. So many clever ideas, great characters, great performances. I want to have seasons 2 and 3 as soon as possible. But also I want to give a shout out to Florence Bell, who performed at The Space and shows up as Jim Howick's wife in one scene. And I've worked with both of them before. So that was just a lovely thing to see them on the screen. You weren't a fan of Three Body Problem, Damo?
I mean, is anyone surprised that I wasn't a fan of that, really? I thought there were some good performances in there, but yeah, I just kind of was left a bit numb by it. But yeah, Raluca loved it and is, like you, I cannot wait for series 2 to drop.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get confirmation of that fairly soon. I finished Wolf Like Me, which is on Prime Video. This is the werewolf show. And I think I've told you before that the Isla Fisher's werewolf in this season is pregnant. So you know the build-up for the whole season is going to be to her giving birth in the final episode. And I was watching this in my bedroom and Catherine was getting ready for bed at the time. And there were some strange birth sounds coming from the screen. It sounded a little bit more like sexy time. So I had a quizzical look from Catherine as to say, what are you watching? So I explained, it's someone giving birth. And she's like, that doesn't sound like anyone I've ever heard giving birth before. And I said, well, she is a werewolf.
It was giving like Twilight birth scene vibes.
I heard she was in a lot of pain, but she's all right now.
Oh.
Very good. I think it's a really good second season. I think there's lots to love in that show. And I would, Wolf Like Me. You want a short, sharp show. I think that's a really good option. Another show I finished is Extraordinary, second season of Extraordinary. And again, really loved that. I could have done with more comedy powers or use of powers within the show. I think it's a little bit light on that this second season. But it moved the story along nicely. It set up a third season in an exciting way. So I very much hope that that gets given the third season. I think you can see season 1 on ITV and season 2 on Disney+. And then I've also finished Kin season 2. A lot of second seasons for me. Really great final episode. It's been pretty nasty and brutal throughout, but some strong performances. And quite a naturally evolving plot for, what is some quite extreme Irish crime drama. And again, very well set up for season 3, I think, Kin. So yeah, you could do worse than that on the BBC iPlayer.
So yeah, I watched season 2 a while back. I feel like it lost its edge a bit.
I can see what you're saying. I think there's definitely moments in there where it's really great drama. I think it's pretty much on par with season 1 for me overall.
Cool.
Then I want to give a very, very quick shout out to The Dry, which is, again, I've talked about it before, but I'm enjoying continuing watching that. So, so good. Also nearly finished The Gentleman, and that's one that I'm enjoying too. But yeah, that's me quite a bit. Sorry about that. Izzy?
Well, I have started watching Mary and George on everyone's recommendations, and I am loving it. I'm two episodes in, and it's just like a thoroughly good time. It's a fun historical romp. So yeah, really, really enjoying that. I would highly recommend. I haven't watched any more of Shogun. It's really on the list for this week, but it's just so dark. So I was fully intending to watch the second episode last weekend and watch Mary and George instead, which I don't regret. It was great. I've carried on with Palm Royale, which I'm loving. I'm really, really enjoying this so much. Like I said in the last episode, I don't think it's going to be on like the top 10 TV lists of the year, but it's just so enjoyable. And I'm having such a good time tuning in every week. And yeah, I mean, Kristen Wiig and Alison Janney and Laura Dern, like, it's just an incredible cast. And they're all just having such a good time doing it. And you could just tell they're all having so much fun. So I'm really enjoying that. So those are my main ones at the moment. I'm also, because as we know, I love a bit of non-fiction, not reality TV, but factual TV, really into the new series of Interior Design Masters, which I've talked about before, which is great. If you like seeing people do up houses, which I do, you have a lovely time. Yeah, they've made over a hotel that was an old convent. That was pretty good. They did some education learning rooms at Chester Zoo. Highly recommend that. It's just a really fun old, yeah, week by week, hour long episode.
And is this a new season, new episodes coming out?
It is. I think it's season 5, maybe. But yeah, new episodes come out every Wednesday. So I highly recommend that. So those are my main ones. But yeah, I think my big weekly one I'm tuning into is Palm Royale, which I'm still absolutely loving. So I'm with the listeners on this one. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, should we get on to our featured show then, which is Renegade Nell, the highly anticipated Renegade Nell, which landed on Disney+. I'm just going to kick off by saying that any show that uses the word fertile within the first 2 minutes has won me over. But yeah, who wants to go first? Grace?
Yeah, I'll go first. I was really excited about this show as well. As everyone knows, big fan of Sally Wainwright. A lot of us are on this pod. But I think, oh God, I don't know if I can say it.
Say it. I've told you, it's a safe space. Even though you won't have it be one, it is one.
I was a bit disappointed. I think it came out the blocks great. That first scene, I loved. I was like, yes, yes, we love this. This is fantastic. Great dialogue, kind of quirky dialogue. Obviously, great kind of fight moments. Just really intriguing. Renegade Nell looks great. Visually gorgeous. I was in. But as the episode progresses, I got a little bit frustrated that I felt like every time there was drama introduced, it was sort of solved in the next scene. And then a new bit of drama was, and then we were kind of, I didn't really feel a lot of forward momentum. And also I'm really confused about how big that little fairy actually is.
I just want to say that I was clapping like a noble lady after that first fight scene.
Oh, that first fight scene was so good.
So those are my main thoughts, but I really wanted to like it, and there's lots I liked.
Has anyone enjoyed this more than Grace then to rebuff these arguments?
I definitely can see some of what you're saying, Grace, for sure. I've only watched the first episode and I know all 8 have dropped. There are a few things for me that felt like they didn't quite hang together, or I didn't quite get the through line, but I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, I'm really enjoying it for the most part. So I'm fairly confident it'll all come good. But I really liked it a lot. I think all the performances are superb. And I especially love the family relationship between the three sisters and the dad. No spoilers. Yeah, but there's some really fun performances in it. And I just really like the fact it's very different to anything Sally Wainwright's done. But at the same time, there's a lot of her in it. You know, you wouldn't be surprised to know that she wrote it. But it's not at all similar to Happy Valley or Last Tango in Halifax or anything like that.
So I'm much more in the Grace camp, I have to say. I think there is some really good stuff in there, though. I mean, we've already talked about that fight sequence. I think the fight choreography is exceptional. Really, really good. You can see that there's money in it, that they've got the wires and it's all being done properly. But the rest of it, it felt very much like a YA show. And it didn't feel to me like a proper show. It felt like a YA show. And that immediately was kind of turning me off. I think Louisa Harland is really good as Nell. I think there's some really good performances in there. I think that the big bad is not particularly well written. There's a couple of things that happened that made me go, oh, I don't buy this. Maybe in a YA show we'll have it, but in this it doesn't feel right. Like the servant who sides with Nell out of nowhere. This just doesn't ring true. But I think that the thing that feels really Sally Wainwright for me is that Nell is a strong character, and not in that like cliched power ballads for women strong. I mean, like, genuinely, physically, emotionally, mentally strong. She's got everything going on. She's intelligent. And I think that's really interesting to watch, because we don't get enough of that, that she's physically strong and it's not an issue, and it's not something that she's derided for. It's something that is supported and is a genuine thing that she's proud of. I think her getting the powers that she gets is a bit awkwardly done. And to be honest, the moment I saw her get some powers, I was a bit like, oh, she's got superpowers. Oh, God.
I think I just don't really know why we need the superpowers thing. Like, can't she just be a badass of her own? Like, I don't know. It's kind of, I'm in two camps about that, because I kind of like that it's a bit different, like you say, Izzy, and that it's like, okay, this is interesting. Then we've not really seen something like exactly like this. But then I'm also like, I don't feel like, can't she just be like a really great fighter without, you know, Nick Mohammed flying into her mouth?
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
I think you're all mad and thoroughly disappointed in each and every one of you, because I absolutely loved this. I thought it was fantastic. Yes, I recommended that Phoebe watch it, and I think it is something that, you know, is fun for the whole family. I would say that she, you know, she would get a lot out of it. I think she is a badass without the superpowers. I think she stands up to people, and she only gets the powers if she is in physical danger. So if she starts a fight, you know, the kind of Billy is the you know, almost like a Jiminy Cricket moral conscience for Nell in a way. Yeah, the fight stuff I think is really cleverly and comedically and smartly done. I really love the urchins kicking the pig's bladder around, and the avit and the word rumpus also being used. You know, I think the dialogue is great, loving it. I loved all the father-daughter stuff with your man from Line of Duty. Yeah, I can see that some of the little bits. I mean, Rasselas, the sort of servant, is clearly in love with Roxy, Nell's sister, and that, I think, explains his actions a little bit more. I think the score is great. Some really lovely scoring throughout the show. But yeah, Nell is cool. She's sexy. She's naturally funny. And those are all things that Noel Fielding is not in The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin, which is 100 times worse than this show.
Yeah, I was going to ask how it compares. Haven't seen.
This is the Highwayman show that Dick Turpin wishes it could have even remotely been. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. It's a big, strong recommendation from me. How very dare you? No, of course, you're entitled to your opinions, but you're all wrong.
I enjoyed it. I am, you know, probably going to watch episode 2 after this. I would agree on the music. It is fantastic. Really, really great. That whole sequence with, I don't want to sort of give away spoilers, but with the dad answering the door in the middle of the night. I feel like that's vague enough. Gorgeous.
Yeah, I think if you were looking kind of like classic, you know, where it'd be on the TV schedule back in the day, this feels very much like a BBC 6 p.m. on a Saturday. So Merlin, New Adventures of Robin Hood, it feels very much that, or maybe almost Legendary Adventures of Hercules, Xena, Warrior Princess. That it's that kind of level, I guess. And Adam, as you said, maybe it is more a family show than a YA show, because I think you could have, you know, younger children such as Phoebe watching it, and you can be safe with them watching that without having to have too many awkward conversations.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of interesting characters in there. I think Frank Delane wasn't so great in Fear of the Walking Dead. He's brilliant in The Essex Serpent, and I think he's quite good in this as well. Some really good people in it, and I will continue to watch.
I did really like being in Tottenham in 1705. That was fun. Maybe I'll watch one more to make my mind up.
That's fair. Should we move on to what's coming out this week then?
Helpfully, on a podcast, we've all put our thumbs up.
Well, what's already out, which we haven't covered previously, a couple of things. So Steve! !! Martin! !! Is a two-part documentary on the Only Murders in the Building star, which is on Apple TV Plus. So if you're a big fan of Steve Martin, Damien's going to correct me, because he's clearly more than the Only Murders in the Building star. Damo.
That's absolutely outrageous. That's probably like one of the weakest things that he's done, and you've labelled him for that. Star of Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride Too. But then so is Martin Short, who plays Frank, who's also brilliant in Father of the Bride. But yeah, sorry, I just felt that I couldn't let that slide.
I think Martin Short features fairly heavily in this documentary, as you would expect. But also already out is Grey, which has snuck onto Netflix. Quite belatedly, it was released elsewhere last year. This stars Patricia Clarkson, Rupert Everett and Lydia West. And it's about Cornelia Grey, a CIA spy who's coming in from the cold after 20 years in hiding, dodging the government agents who suspected her of being a traitor.
That sounds class. I saw on iPlayer just before we recorded that This Town is available to watch now on iPlayer as well. I know we covered that in a previous episode, but I don't think any of us have watched it yet. And given that it's a significant show, it's probably worth reminding everyone that that is now available on iPlayer.
Yeah, out today, right?
Yes.
You know what's out this week on Disney Plus? Something called Tracker, which I've never heard of. Lone wolf survivalist Colter Shaw roams the country as a reward seeker, using his expert tracking skills to help private citizens and law enforcement solve all manner of mysteries whilst contending with his own fractured family. Stars Justin Hartley, Fiona Renee and Mary McDonnell. Where will I have seen them before?
Well, Justin Hartley is in This Is Us, I think, and I believe was married to someone from Selling Sunset. So there's that. I would just like to say that I'm very meh about the sound of this, but if this was a reality show, I would 100% tune in. Imagine that synopsis, but it's just a camera following someone around. It'd be great.
I think it's very much a procedural. So I think it is a kind of, reward of the week sort of show. I mean, Mary McDonnell has an incredible CV. Dances with Wolves, Battlestar Galactica, which I'm sure you've watched. The Mum in Donnie Darko, so many brilliant stuff. And most recently, The Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah. Oh,
of course. Madeline Usher.
Is that Madeline Usher? Sorry, I have a problem. I can't help it.
Well, while Damo is just singing in the background there, I'll talk about Ripley, which comes out on the 4th of April on Netflix. It's an adaptation of The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith. It's a wealthy man who hires a down-on-his-luck grifter, Tom Ripley, to travel to Italy to urge his vagabond son to return home. Tom's acceptance of the job is the first step in a life of deceit, fraud, and murder. This has Andrew Scott, who I absolutely love, Dakota Fanning, and Johnny Flynn. So just amazing cast. And I have read the book of this a long time ago and also watched the 90s film, which I believe stars Jude Law and I want to say Matt Damon. So I'm quite excited for a new adaptation of this. I think it's going to be really good. And yes, I'm all in on this one. Sounds great.
I haven't read the book or seen the film, but from what I understand, it's not a direct remake of the film. It's a slightly, either it takes a different element of the book or it's a slightly different spin on that story. But I can't back that up with confidence, but that's just sort of what I've heard. But yeah, it looks all shot in black and white, certainly from the trailer anyway. It looks gorgeous. And I'm definitely going to be tuning in on the Netflix for this one.
Andrew Scott's going to be a great Ripley. Really good. So yeah.
It's perfect casting for that role.
This sounds cool.
I tell you what, with it being Easter Sunday, there's lots of chocolate. And with lots of chocolate means lots of sugar. And on the 5th of April on Apple TV Plus, Sugar will be dropping. Colin Farrell stars as John Sugar, an American private investigator, on the heels of the mysterious disappearance of Olivia Siegel, whatever, the beloved granddaughter of legendary Hollywood producer Jonathan. As Sugar tries to determine what happened to Olivia, he will also unearth family secrets, some very recent, others long buried. It also stars Kirby Howell-Baptiste, Amy Ryan, and James Cromwell, with a guest appearance from Breaking Bad's Anna Gunn, who played Skylar White.
I really enjoyed the fact that the surname Siegel or Seagal was in this blurb so much and you skipped every single one.
I saw you giggling more and more as I went further the paragraph.
I like the idea of legendary Hollywood producer Jonathan.
Oh, that guy.
Again, another one I'm going to be watching enjoy Colin Farrell in the trailer for this looks good.
Again, if this was a reality show and not a procedural, what a blurb. I would absolutely tune in. Grace is just looking despairingly at me.
No, I absolutely love this. I was actually thinking while you were saying, let's get you pitching. Let's get you pitching. This is fantastic.
What other TV dramas do you think would make good reality TV shows?
Maybe Breaking Bad. It's like, I think it'd be great. You can really pitch it as, can this mild-mannered chemistry teacher fund his own treatment? Be kind of like The Apprentice. Be very entrepreneurial.
I'd quite like to see The Walking Dead as a reality TV show. Stick people in the middle of nowhere and set a load of zombies on them.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets would also be good, if harrowing.
Do you remember there was a reality... Sorry, we're going off piece here, but there was a reality TV show. Do you remember, maybe it was 5 years ago, where they put someone in like a pretend zombie movie and you got to watch them defend themselves?
Wasn't it a Derren Brown thing?
Correct, it was a Derren Brown thing. Thank you, Izzy. It was wild. I mean, the PTSD from that...
you just think ethically there are so many issues with that. Ruining lives, Derren Brown.
He literally woke up like 28 days later. They made him do that. Horrendous. Damo.
What I would quite like to see is Better Call Saul as a reality TV show. The workings of Wexler and Goodman for the brief period that existed, spoiler, from a series 6 years ago now. I would quite like to see that. Kim and her corporate clients going into one room and Saul and his, shall we say, slightly more nefarious clients in the next room.
Don't, I just want to watch it again from the start.
So I haven't watched Better Call Saul, but there's kind of a legal element to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you kind of put Judge Judy in there? Could you really amp up the like American court case kind of TV side of things?
I think it might be more like, you know, there's that there's always clips going viral of that judge. I think he's Rhode Island, and he's always like really lenient with people who have sob stories. I'd quite like to see him maybe in as the other judge. Like, we move between him, and there's always one of Wexler and Goodman with that judge, and we kind of constantly each week they kind of get moved around.
I know I started this conversation off, but I'm going to move us on because we're going long already now. Also out this week, we have the fifth and final season of Star Trek Discovery on Paramount Plus. That's on the 4th of April. And all three of Chicago Med, Chicago Fire and Chicago PD come to Sky Witness on the 5th of April. It's almost like they planned it. And finally, season 67 of Have I Got News For You starts on the BBC on the same date.
Season what?
67.
For fuck's sake.
I mean, they must be doing more than one season a year, right?
Have we not had enough news? Can everyone just slow down a bit?
Izzy, if you think of news as reality TV, maybe you might enjoy it again.
I think that's the problem, Damo. I very much do see it as reality TV.
Speaking of news, we probably should cover some news, right? I think we ought to kick off with the sad news that we woke up to this morning. That Chance Padamo, who starred in Gen V most recently, American-born British actor, sadly passed away in a motorbike accident. He was the only one involved, it's been reported. But he was one of the best things, I think, in Gen V, played Andre Anderson, and is also, you know, a BAFTA-nominated actor, an incredibly sad loss for one so young. And production of the second season of Gen V has been suspended indefinitely following this news, which is obviously the right thing to do.
Yeah, this is really sad. He was only 27, which is heartbreaking, and such a talented actor. So, yeah, this is a huge loss.
Speaking of the BAFTAs, the TV BAFTAs were announced. Before we recorded the last Watch List episode, but I missed it. Do we want to have a quick cover of some of these and any sort of swift predictions on who might win? I'll kick you off with the leading actress. There's some great people in this. Anjana Vasan from Black Mirror, Anne Reed from The Sixth Commandment, Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us, Helena Bonham Carter for Nolly, Sharon Horgan for Best Interests, but it's surely going to be Sarah Lancashire from Happy Valley.
I think it's the Sarah versus Belly. Belly? Who's Belly? Sarah versus Bella there, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, some strong, I mean, Sharon Horgan in Best Interests and I think Anne Reed in The Sixth Commandment are both really, really great. And any other year may well be favourites. But yeah, surely Sarah Lancashire's got this one. Leading actors, you've got Brian Cox in Succession, Dominic West in The Crown, Kane Robinson for Top Boy, Papa Essiadu for The Lazarus Project, Steve Coogan for The Reckoning, and Timothy Spall for The Sixth Commandment.
This is going to be really hard to judge, surely, because there's some amazing performances in here.
I'm going to put money on Kane Robinson. He's already won an award. And to be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't been in the conversation more for Sully from the other series of Top Boy. But yeah, I think out of these, maybe Brian Cox for Succession. But I think it's probably those two, really. Although Timothy Spall is really bloody good in The Sixth Commandment.
And I mean, it was a horrible performance, but Steve Coogan was very, very good in The Reckoning as well.
I don't think Brian Cox can get it for being in 3 episodes. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Brian Cox won it this time. I will echo what Izzy just said. Steve Coogan is, much as I hate to say it, incredible in The Reckoning. Really, really good. So I'm definitely pleased that he's been nominated for this because I think he deserves it thoroughly. Supporting actress then, Elizabeth Debicki in The Crown, Harriet Walter in Succession, Jasmine Jobson in Top Boy, Leslie Manville in The Crown, Nico Parker for the one episode she did in The Last of Us, and Siobhan Finneran for Happy Valley.
It's got to be Siobhan. Come on.
That's good. That's a good category, isn't it?
It is, but Nico Parker, I mean, she was in one episode. I'd argue she was in half an episode. Like, come on, guys.
Well, it's not the Nepo Baby Award, so she won't get it. I would also say if it was last season's of Top Boy, Jasmine Jobson would walk it. I don't think she got enough in this final season, really. She was a little bit underserved. But, I mean, Harriet Walter is very good in Succession.
I mean, Harriet Walter should get an award for just talking about, what was it, Peter's Nobbies?
Yeah, I think Leslie Manville has some standout moments in The Crown, most recent season of The Crown. But I think Siobhan Finneran, just for that scene in the cafe alone, I think surely that's enough to win that award.
I would say so.
Speaking of Happy Valley, supporting actor Amit Shah, Farmer Fies, is nominated. Yana Hardwick for The Sixth Commandment, Harris Dickinson for A Murder at the End of the World, Jack Loudon for Slow Horses, Matthew McFadden for Succession, and Salim Dawr for The Crown. Is one of the Fayeds in The Crown, I think the younger Fayed.
I admittedly have not seen all of these, but surely it's got to be Matthews.
I think Yana Hardwick has got a good chance for The Sixth Commandment. Again, it's not a particularly nice character, but he's very, very good in that. And I'm also really pleased to see Harris Dickinson in there for A Murder at the End of the World. Female performance, do we want to do the performances? We should do the performances in a comedy quickly. Female performance in a comedy, Bridget Christie, who's brilliant in The Change. Bemisola Ikemelu for Black Ops, another one that I really enjoyed. Mariad Tyers and Sophia Oxenham for Extraordinary. Roisin Gallagher for The Lovers. I actually think she's better in The Dry, but whatever. And Taj Atwal for Hullraisers, which is the only one I haven't seen on here. I think Bridget Christie and Bemisola Ikemelu are probably the front runners for this one. Male performance in a comedy, Adjani Salmon in Dreaming Whilst Black, David Tennant in Good Omens, Hamid Annemasheorn in Black Ops, Jamie Dimitriou in A Whole Lifetime with Jamie Dimitriou, Joseph Gilgun in Brassic, and Moana Rizwan in Juice.
I don't think I've seen any of those, so I really don't have an opinion on this category at all.
So I've watched a couple of these, the top three, and I've watched an episode of Juice and I didn't really think it was that great. David Tennant, no, sorry. Good Omens, I actually think that latest series of Good Omens is really disappointing until the last 15 minutes when they decide to actually write a show. Hamid is okay in Black Ops, but Adjani Salmon, I mean, what a performance, what a show. You know, it's his child as well, isn't it? So it's... for what it is and what he does in that and for what it's about, I hope he gets it.
It's definitely the one of these shows that I'd most recommend watching. And it's got a second season commissioned now as well. So if you haven't seen Dreaming Whilst Black, I'd recommend catching up on that one. Drama series, we've got The Gold, which I'm a little bit surprised about. Happy Valley, Slow Horses and Top Boy. I mean, the other three, there's barely a hair's breadth between them, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope it's Happy Valley.
Obviously same, but Slow Horses and Top Boy, goodness me. excellent. I mean, Happy Valley and Top Boy were both the final seasons.
So yeah, I guess that is it, isn't it?
They were both TV moments in their own right, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think what the shows are about, I think it's important for shows like that to win BAFTAs because it means more shows like that are made. So either a cop show with a strong female lead cop that's really well written with nuanced characters, and that would then mean that more of those sorts of shows are made, or a very real, genuine look at how life is in a tougher part of London that isn't horrendously derivative.
I would be happy with either, to be fair.
I think limited drama is also a really strong category here. You've got Best Interests, Demon 79, so that one episode of Black Mirror, The Long Shadow and The Sixth Commandment. I mean, those are all pretty good.
I mean, this is like a no contest for me. The Long Shadow was, as everyone knows, one of my absolute favourite things of last year. And I would love this to get some recognition. I'm kind of really sad it hasn't been as nominated in other categories, to be honest. But yeah, I really, really hope this wins.
I think it's the strongest of the four, comfortably. But they are, that doesn't mean the other three aren't great. But I think for what The Long Shadow is, I don't think the others come close.
And we do have podcast specials on both with special guests, actually, on Best Interests and The Long Shadow. So do go through our back catalogue to listen to those. Scripted comedy, again, strong category. Big Boys, Dreaming Whilst Black, Extraordinary and Such Brave Girls. I kind of hope Big Boys wins this one. But I did really enjoy Such Brave Girls as well. That's another one that I'd recommend if you haven't caught it yet. Let's skip through soap and entertainment programme. Let's talk about the reality show, shall we?
Let's. We've got Banged Up on Channel 4. We've got Married at First Sight UK on E4. I don't watch it on E4. My Mum, Your Dad, ITV 1-1, which I think was like a parent trap, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I didn't see this, but I actually heard it was great.
Yeah, single parents, but sort of matched up by their kids.
Damo, what do you want to say about E4?
I want us to have a moment to enjoy your air horn.
I'm really good at klaxons. And then Squid Game, The Challenge on Netflix, which Adam, I know you watched.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, but it was great. My Mum, Your Dad was one that I wanted to watch and didn't get around to. So I might go back and watch that one because I did hear good things about it. And Banged Up was, I think, where they put celebrities in prison, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
That was bizarre.
See, that's a reality show that I would kind of prefer if it was a drama. I think some great storytelling potential there, guys.
Well, let's just cover quickly international. So you've got the Bear Beef Class Act on Netflix. Anyone seen or heard of Class Act on Netflix? I think it's a foreign language drama. Then The Last of Us, Love and Death on ITVX. I don't really think it's good. Doesn't necessarily belong with the rest of the shows in this category. And finally, Succession.
This is a strong category, isn't it?
Yeah, hard to pick from all of that stuff. The Bear Beef and Succession have been winning awards left, right and centre. So
I think it'll be Succession because it's the last series. All these other ones have a chance to win again. So I think it'll end up going to Succession.
I mean, speaking of last series, I just scroll down to the bottom. Writer in a drama category. You've got Charlie Brooker, obviously Black Mirror. Then you've got Jesse Armstrong. Then you've got Sally Wainwright. And then you've got Sarah Phelps, who wrote The Sixth Commandment, which I haven't seen. But Jesse Armstrong v. Sally Wainwright. Woo, that is tough stuff there. Obviously, my heart's with Sally always and forever.
Grant, any final bits you want to pick out of the BAFTA nominations?
I would love to just talk about memorable moments. So the memorable moments we've got is in Beckham, where David teases Victoria about her working class, air quotes, upbringing. Doctor Who, Nkuti Gatua revealed as the 15th Doctor. Happy Valley, Catherine Kaywood and Tommy Lee Royce's final kitchen showdown. The Last of Us, Bill and Frank's story. The piano, 13-year-old Lucy stuns commuters with jaw-dropping piano performance. And Succession, Logan Roy's death. I mean, like, wow, what a list. There's a couple of amazing moments in here that aren't mentioned. I would have loved the Like a Bridge Over Troubled Water needle drop moment from The Long Shadow. It was like one of my TV moments of the year. It was just incredible. And also the Taylor Swift moment from The Bear. I'm really sad, isn't it, in there? But I mean, like, what a list of memorable moments.
I'd also like to add the final scene between Sully and Duchesne in Top Boy.
Oh, God, yeah, through the gate. Jesus.
I don't think The Bear is British enough for it to qualify in this particular list, but I agree, one of my favourite moments of last year's TV. I think Succession was probably the most shocking moment out of all of these, and we just didn't see it coming at that quickly in the series. And The Last of Us, the Bill and Frank story, is probably the best single episode of last year. But whether it's a particularly standout memorable moment within it, I don't know. So yeah, I think for me, it's got to be Happy Valley.
Never was there a more loaded, hiya!
We have gone long, but there's a few other bits of news that we ought to cover. Blue Lights has got a release date, the 15th of April, and we're pretty almost guaranteed that this is going to be our next featured specials show.
I am so excited about this. I am so excited about the second season of Blue Lights. Loved the first season. Can't wait for this. We're definitely doing episode by episode because I'm going to want to geek out.
I think I might actually rewatch series one.
Could you, Damo? Because then you'll come in with the full knowledge. It's hazy for me.
We have gone long, so I'm going to give you one news item each from the list, and we'll cover the rest of it in the next watch list episode.
Well, Elizabeth Moss will star and exec produce in an adaptation of Araminta Hall's gripping novel Imperfect Woman, and that'll be on Adam's Apple TV Plus alongside Kerry Washington. I'm assuming by that you mean Kerry Washington will also be in the show rather than she will be a new streaming service.
Yes. My understanding is there's three imperfect women in this show, and two of those have been cast as Elizabeth Moss and Kerry Washington.
Just quickly, are those imperfect women messy millennial women?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about Jeff Goldblum. I got served this trailer on Instagram and I had to watch it all the way through. First look at Jeff Goldblum as Zeus in Cows. Is that how we say it?
I think it's Chaos.
Chaos. In Chaos. This is from the writer of The End of the Fucking World and the producers of Chernobyl. So that's quite exciting. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, of course Jeff Goldblum should play Zeus. That makes total sense.
I will talk about the fact that the Lazarus Project has been cancelled after two seasons, bafflingly, as described by Adam. I haven't actually watched the Lazarus Project, so who knows? Creator Joe Barton quoted Dr. Seuss on social media, "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened."
I just want to confirm, it's Joe Barton, not Joey Barton, because Joey Barton has also been posting some strange stuff on social media.
Yeah, I am very sad it's over. I haven't cried. It was a strong show, a good, time travel-y series with great people in it, really strong performances, I thought. It is a bit gutting that they've cancelled this, and I think it is strange because it had done quite well. It had been critically well-received. I can only imagine the numbers maybe weren't particularly strong enough. It's a shame, massive shame. Grant, well, let's save the rest of the news for next time round then. If you want to let us know what you've been watching, who you agree with about Renegade Nell, then you can do get in touch on the social media at TVDNAPod, or you can email TVDNAPod@gmail.com. We've got our Shogun episode still coming out, one released recently. The next one will be in a couple of weeks' time. And then from mid-April onwards, we'll be covering Blue Lights. But we'll be back next week where we'll probably be talking about having watched Ripley.
Yeah.
Cool.
Grace, you're going to air horn sound us out, right?
Big time.